Good morning. My name is Josh. I'm the pastor in training here at CBC. Matt, such a great song to lead us into Book of Ephesians together. Now and ever, we confess Christ our hope in life and death. You'll probably know that we were going through the Book of Esther as a church together, but we're putting a pin in that. We're going to return and finish that at the end of the summer. Because right now, we feel as a church, we need to hear from God's word about what it means to be unified in Christ, to have a shared hope in life and death. One where we are brought together as a people into God's family for all time, through thick and through thin. And it's not a unity that we ever created, but one that God created. So we'll begin to look at that in the book of Ephesians. So if you've got a blue Bible here, or if you've got your own, well, this page number is only relevant to the blue Bible. It's on page 1173 to find Ephesians chapter 1. Paul here, he is writing to a church in Ephesus. So a group of Ephesians, mostly Gentiles from non-Jewish backgrounds. That's what that means. This was a place, Ephesus, where there was a hub of different religions within the Roman Empire. And these guys had found salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is addressing in this book how two distinct groups are all actually spiritual orphans. And how God chose them to be adopted in Christ. All sharing the same redemption in the Son and all sharing in the same sealing of the Holy Spirit. This morning, I want us to hear how in God's word we are taken from being orphans to being adopted into God's family. Now, many great stories we can probably think to mind, they contain an orphan as the protagonist. Okay, I think of The Lion King with Simba. You know, you've got Annie, you've got Oliver Twist, you've got Batman. Right, there's so many stories where for some reason we resonate with somebody who has lost their parents and finds their way in the world. There's something within our heart that resonates with that. I think that speaks to our spiritual hearts, where we are all born as spiritual orphans, desiring, needing really a heavenly father to adopt us. That is something that we all share this morning, and it is a pain that I do not take lightly. The good news of the gospel is that though we were once orphans, God is the one who chooses to adopt us, brings us into his family, makes us heirs of his kingdom, like his son Jesus, and guarantees that with the presence of his Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite Adam up, please, to read for us from Ephesians chapter 1.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfilment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who worked out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in Lord Jesus.
You can stop that, Adam.
You can stop that. Yeah, what did you say? 23, aren't you?
Just to 14. Thank you.
Thank you. That is still the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me in prayer. Thank you, Adam. Lord God, we thank you for how rich this word is that Paul has brought to us and that your Holy Spirit brings us today. Lord, we recognize there's so much to wrap our head around here in this passage. But I thank you that Paul doesn't bring this as like a doctorate, a PhD thing, but as worship and as praise in how we were chosen to become your children. So I pray, Lord, you'd speak through me. Help me to speak your words in a way that will build up your church this morning. Amen. 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 So our first point I want us to look at this morning in seeing how God has chosen you for adoption in Christ is to see how God the Father has blessed us by adopting us. So that's our first point this morning. Paul shows in his letter, even just in these opening verses, a total, utter reliance on God for all things. Even in verse 1, he describes himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Likewise, the church in Ephesus he calls God's holy people. Could also be translated as saints. So to God's saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, what's interesting for Paul and for these guys here in Ephesus, and also just like us, there was a time when we were all outside of Christ. Paul, he was an active persecutor of the early church. He rounded up Christians and put them in prison, even put some to death. And the Ephesians were a group of pagan idol worshippers. They were outside of Christ. If you could move to slide 3, please, brother. Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1, that all of us outside of Christ were dead in our transgressions and sins. And in verse 2, he says that we were disobedient. And verse 3, by nature, deserving of wrath. Because of humanity's rebellion, all people who have ever been born are born spiritually into what I call an orphanage of sin. Picture it with me. We aren't the cute, innocent Oliver Twist, okay, that says, please, sir, can I have some more? Instead, we are an ignorant little, you know, so-and-so that says, I want more. I've demanded more. One that has slammed the door in God's face over and over again. We've chosen our own rebellion, our own way of being. We've scrawled all over the walls, you know, Josh rules here with a Z, right? Total defiance, even when it comes to grammar. We are totally rebellious. We have lived out our own days in this dingy orphanage, and there's no aging out of this kind of place. You stay there forever. Unless someone can step in and rescue us. And the thing is, within this orphanage, we don't even understand that there is another choice on offer unless that person steps in. C.S. Lewis described it like this. It would seem that our desires are not too strong, but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink, sex, ambition, when infinite joy instead is offered to us. We're like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. So if we can't even choose to leave, we need someone to step in to our story, to step into the orphanage and choose to adopt us, to bless us with this adoption. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 1 with God our Father. We go to slide 4, please, my friend. In verse 4, we see that God has chosen us in him before the creation of the world to save us, to become holy and blameless in his sight. And in love, verse 5, it's according to his predestination, something that he's preordained for us to become adopted into his family. This is what it means to be adopted, to have what it says in verse 3, every spiritual blessing in Christ. See, even before we were born into this orphanage of sin, the Father had already decided that he would adopt us. This is why Paul is so full of praise and worship, because God is the one who's instigated this. He came in at just the right time in each of our lives. We all have so many different stories of how God and when God chose to move in and make known his adoption to you. Picture that scene again when you're in that dingy orphanage. You feel like there is just no escape, there is no way out. And all of a sudden, this figure comes in who just radiates love. He has a smile on his face, not with an ulterior motive to get you to do something or just to behave, but one that genuinely cares about you. He steps into this orphanage and says, I've chosen to adopt you. You don't belong here anymore. It's time to go home. And then it's like hearing music for the first time. Before, you didn't even know what the tune would sound like. But now you've heard it, and you can't help but respond, say, I want to go home too. That is what it means for God to make his adoption known to us. Even despite our bratty behavior, before the world was even created, God chose you to bring you into his family. Nothing we did to deserve that. And we may think that's unfair. In a way, you know, what about my choice in this? Do I choose to be adopted? Yeah. Yeah, you do. You listen to the music and you respond. You respond by saying, I want to go home. But the most important part of this equation is that God instigated it all. He is the one who chose to make you his child. It is truly a miracle that God chooses to save people at all. It's truly a miracle. That is why at the end of verse 4, I see those two words at the end of verse 4, in love. So it's not that God's made us to be robots. In that sense, it is a choosing out of love for you to show his saving grace through his son, Jesus. Paul says again and again in this passage, the phrase in Christ. You'll probably notice that littered everywhere. Or if you're like a nerd like me, you've probably highlighted it. It's actually crazy how often he says it, because there is no way to become adopted by the Father unless it's in Christ or according to God's will, which are a unified purpose, a unified mission and aim. This being chosen for adoption is not restrictive. It is true freedom. It is true assurance. It's a blessing from God. Like it says in 1 John, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God chose us to be adopted. God chose us to be united to Christ. And God chose us to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, some of us, probably half of us in this room, look at verse 5, where it says we're adopted to sonship, and think, I'm a lady. Why am I a son? Why am I a son in this? It's a very valid question. Okay. Well, this speaks to, in the Roman culture that Paul comes from, to be a son. So the firstborn son was to inherit everything. You are the chief heir. Okay, so when Paul says here, we're adopted to sonship, he doesn't mean we're all made into boys, because gross, right? Boys are stinky, yuck. But instead, we are all adopted as if we become the heir. And that could have been anybody chosen to do that. And by that, I mean some people owned, they had servants in their household, and they could still, the master could choose to give this servant the right to be an heir, just as if they were a firstborn son. So in our situation, Jesus, he is the only natural heir of God the Father. But we become co-heirs with Christ by adoption. That means whenever God sees us, he sees Christ as if we were his firstborn. And that's only possible because, as it says in verse 6, from a freely given grace through the one he loves, his beloved Jesus Christ. That is how, verse 4, we are made to be holy and blameless in his sight. Not because when we get adopted, we're now meant to earn that sonship. As in, now I can finally be blameless, I can finally be holy if I just do the right things. No, it's because when God looks at us, he sees Jesus and he sees his blamelessness and his holiness. That is a story that we all share this morning who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. That is the same story we all share. God the Father blessed us by choosing to adopt us. And with this adoption planned from all eternity, we're able to leave behind that orphanage of sin and set out for the Father's house, united to Christ. So our second point this morning is that we are united in Christ by his grace. So you've now been adopted in this illustration. Okay, the papers are signed. Do you know that your heavenly Father has chosen you? That means you're a child of God. You're an heir of the whole world. And yet with that now comes an awareness of just how sinful that we've been. We're suddenly aware of all the mess that we've made in that orphanage, all of the people that we've hurt, all of the times that we've hurt God through what we've done. And we think, oh, man, that's not how a child of the Heavenly Father would act. Could I even truly be a kid that the Father would want now? What if he finds out about all the sin that I did? Maybe he'll find out and give me up. Maybe he'll actually leave me at the doors of the orphanage. But your Heavenly Father, he knows your thoughts. So at the door of this orphanage where you're full of doubt, he comes alongside you at the door. And he sits with you and he puts his arm around you. And he says, I chose you not because of anything that you've done, but because I love you. Now there was a price to pay for this adoption. You'll be happy to know it's non-refundable. I'm not going to change my mind about you. It came at the cost of my firstborn, Jesus, my only begotten son, so that you are forever attached to his perfect character. That's something we call grace. Your debt is cleared. Your sins are washed away. You are united to my son. Therefore, you are perfect in my sight. Now come along. He's going to walk you home. In verse 7, Paul says, in him, which is in Christ, we have redemption through Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of sins. So to leave the orphanage of sin and the destination of hell that all abound to within that orphanage, our nature needed to be changed. You know, as a natural spiritual orphan, we needed to be changed from the inside out, needed to be cleansed from us so that we can then go to the true house of the Father. We owed a great debt to the God of the universe, one of infinite value, one that we could never pay for. And yet it was paid for, it says here, by Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross. Through his blood, it says there, where he died in our place so that we could live. That is what redemption means in verse 7. It's a word we don't use a lot other than when we redeem a coupon. But in this sense, it means to be bought for a price for freedom, where sins are forgiven, the slate is wiped clean. And I really don't want us to think this morning that God begrudgingly gave his son over. Because I adopted you, I must do this. No, it is a beautiful thing that the Father chose to do. Hear Paul's language in verses 7 to 8. I'm just going to read it again. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. There's nothing stingy about this or begrudgingly given. It's lavished. It's not a dollop of cream on your pastry. It's pouring the whole bottle on. Grace never comes in drips and drabs. It comes fully and cleans you entirely. That is God's grace. Where we feel like our sin might outcompete this lavished grace that we receive. Romans 5, Paul says this, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can never outcompete grace. And God the Father will never change his mind about you because you are united to Christ. But this is something for thousands of years that was called a mystery. We didn't really know how God would bring about this salvation. I don't know if you guys remember the show Sherlock from a few years ago, or just read Arthur Conan Doyle's books about Sherlock Holmes. But you know he's a bright guy. You know he's always going to solve the mystery. And part of the fun is finding out, how does he solve it? How will he make his plan known? And it's a very loose tie, but I wanted to get a Sherlock Holmes reference in there for my name's sake. But there's a tie there to the mystery that God has been putting forward through all of history. In verse 9, Paul describes this salvation as a mystery, but it has now been made known to us through his Son. It's been made known to us according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. So there's no haphazard, what am I going to do? How am I going to save these people? No, God has been in total control the whole time, knowing when Jesus would come into the world, knowing that he would save us this way. Because that is something that God within himself, as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all decided to do to save for God a people. When it says that it was according to his good pleasure, you could translate that really as desire or something that he cherished. This is something that God couldn't wait to show how he was going to do it. It delighted God to display his plan in Christ. That he would send his only Son into the world to live among sinful people, to live the perfect life that we can never live, and to die the death that we deserve so that we could live in him. It made God glad to plan your blessing of adoption and to show it done through Jesus. Like a parent who's gotten a present for their kid, they just can't wait to show them. And we know this is all fulfilled also in verse 10, as it says, in Christ, these things were put into effect. So our adoption was sealed, the forgiveness of sins was put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth with Christ. Jesus there, if he is the fulfillment, where all the times reach their fulfillment, that means he is the one that all of history pointed towards. It's his story. That is the moment where all of creation was waiting to see how God's people would be redeemed. And God had such a love for his Son, still has such a love for his Son, through whom we are adopted, being united to Christ. And this unites those in heaven and those on earth that put their trust in Christ. All from grace. Nothing earned, but given. That is something you all share in Christ. I say you, singularly because it's individual, okay? But I also say you all, y'all, okay? We share this story together. Paul is writing to a whole church here, not an individual. United in the same story where we collectively put our faith and trust in Jesus. And so we are united under Christ. And there's a seal on that. As point three says for us this morning, the Holy Spirit guarantees our adoption. Back to our story, the orphanage of sin is a distant memory at this point. Okay, you have been enjoying life with Jesus. Occasionally you skip. Occasionally you sing, you whistle, because you're so happy. Jesus, along the way, he tells you great promises. I've already prepared a place for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. You're going to love it. You're walking hand in hand with him, holding his nail-scarred hands that gave you this forgiveness through his blood. But one day, you sin. One day, the whistling stops. One day, you slip, you fall. You act like the orphan you used to be. You lash out against somebody. You lash out against God. Maybe you go after a voice calling you in a different direction and you let go for a time. How are you going to get to the Father's house? Well, knowing this, our Saviour never leaves us alone. Jesus, he comes to you wherever you've gone to, because he's never far. He never lets you go far. He comes to you and he hands you the adoption papers to hold on to. He says, here is your assurance. And you look at this paper, and it shows how the payment has been made in full, paid by the blood of Jesus. And where a signature would be at the bottom, you instead see a stamp. Let's imagine it's got the Holy Spirit on it. Okay, a dove image. And that speaks to something within you. And Jesus says, you know, when I came to fetch you, my Father and I, we sent our Holy Spirit to live in you. You know, he's the reason that we're connected now. He's the one who changed your heart. He's the one who's made your nature to be like a son or a daughter of God. His presence in you guarantees, just like this stamp, that you will come to God and receive your inheritance. You will be welcomed home. And he points you to a part underneath that stamp, a little message from the Father that says, remember, I chose you. Keep walking, my child. The Holy Spirit, guys, is our assurance. He is our guarantee, that stamp, that seal, that we cannot leave him again. He will always come after us. In verse 11, it says, we were in Christ chosen, predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. Where it says, we were also chosen, you could also render that as chosen for an inheritance. We were also heirs according to God's plan. And what's amazing here, he works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Everything has been worked so this plan happens. These things work together to bring about this adoption. There is nothing outside of God's will to bring his children home that would get in the way of his plan. Even when we fall short, even if things go topsy-turvy in our lives, if everything just turns upside down, and we're left with so many questions. We have a guarantee of our adoption that welcomes us back every time. We have been forgiven permanently in order that we who put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. Now, Paul here, he's starting to show how people from different backgrounds all come into the same inheritance. In verse 11, where it says, the mystery of Jesus was first made known to the Jewish people, but for them, that means Paul and the disciples, chosen by God to hear this good news first and receive that salvation first. But what's crazy to me in God's choosing is that there's no tier of adoption. So it's not like Paul and Jesus, by nature of being Jewish, were naturally saved. He says very clearly in verse 12 that we who put our hope in Christ, that's necessary. Because unless you put your hope in the one who paid for your debt to be cleared, you can't leave the orphanage. And in the same way, in verse 13, where he says, you also, so that contrasts with the we from verse 12. So we, you also, are brought together into the family of God when placing that trust in Jesus Christ. He outlines it in verse 13, when the Ephesians, who are now Christians, when they first heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So this adoption is guaranteed. Because the moment that the gospel, when we hear it like that fresh music for the first time and we believe it in our hearts and we accept that adoption that God began, the Holy Spirit moves into our hearts. He is the guarantee of that adoption. Jesus said to the disciples in John 14 that he would not leave us as orphans, but send the Spirit of truth to be with us forever. He guarantees that heavenly inheritance. This is a shared inheritance with the rest of God's people. And the end of verse 12 and verse 14, we see that all of this is for our good, but also for the praise of his glory. Have you ever stopped to think that your saving actually gives God glory? When we in humbleness say, I could not save myself, I accept your free gift of grace, that gives God glory. We recognize that we need him. And that's something we're encouraged to. We're given this assurance because of that firm adoption where we were chosen. To speak personally, you know, a lot of you know me for years, because I grew up at CBC, you'd know that I've got godly parents and they've brought me up in the church and I've loved Jesus my whole life. But there are times where I've also strayed. I think university specifically, what a wreck I was. And I hid it so well. There were times where I felt I couldn't even come to church some Sundays when I was studying away at university, just because of that deep sense of guilt that I felt, thinking that I had to be in God's good books to be with his people, to be in his presence. Though I'd been in the church for years, it wasn't until this truth started to really hit that God chose me, chose us, before we even made a choice ourselves. That's what brought me back every time. Because I'm struggling here, guys, because it really meant a lot to know that. To know that it wasn't me who earned that salvation by saying yes to him. It was one that was given to me freely. That's something that's given to all of you. You've put your trust in Jesus this morning. You have that assurance. You know that his Spirit is in you, in that person next to you. I invite you to look at the people around you now. Please look at them. I'm sure they're lovely. If you've not met them before, please say hello again afterwards. But they share your story. They share your story of how God chose you to adopt you, to make sure that you'd never be lost, to give you a stamp of the Holy Spirit that would keep you forever. And that we walk towards his heavenly home together. We are going to have times where we fall short still, where the times of being orphans before will pop up again. But remember the grace that God has given you individually. And remember the grace that he's given to that other person as well. Jesus said, he said many things, but one thing that comes to my mind again and again is that I will build my church and the gates of hell or Hades will not overcome it. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for how you've worked in us. We thank you for how your plan to adopt us was something even before we thought about you. As we sung earlier, before you ever crossed our minds, Jesus, you bore the cross for us so that in you we could be called heirs of God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live within us. Lord, that you guarantee that inheritance that we will share one day when we cross that river and we get to the Father's house, we'll be welcomed with open arms, not because of how good we've been or how much we cleaned up our act, but because of the perfect character of Jesus that is given to us, that prompts us to want to live differently, to live in a way that is for the praise and glory of our Heavenly Father, as Paul has said this morning. Lord God, please bind that truth to our hearts. Remind us of that glorious inheritance that we have. I thank you, Lord, for your love and your goodness in choosing us. Lord, as Paul opened his letter, may we leave this place feeling that we have received your grace and your peace from our Heavenly Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.